Welcome to the Voice of America in Mandarin.
这里是美国之音的中文广播，现在就开始今天下午六个小时的中文节目。
德国的领导人，各位听众好，今天是2月12号，北京时间下午5点。现在请听国际新闻，我是张燕。乌克兰、俄罗斯、法国和德国的领导人星期四清晨继续举行会谈，争取结束乌克兰危机。此前四国领导人在白俄罗斯首都进行了马拉松式的彻夜谈判。上个星期有关各方匆忙安排了在白俄罗斯首都明斯克举行的此次峰会。此前德国总理默克尔和法国总统奥朗德前往莫斯科，向俄罗斯总统普京递交了一项和平方案。据信，谈判的焦点是恢复停火。最初各方同意在去年9月停火，但是停火很快被打破。围绕从冲突地区撤出武器，以及该地区今后的自治程度等问题，有关各方还存在分歧。美国总统奥巴马星期三请求国会正式授权，在打击伊斯兰国恐怖组织的战争中动用军队。奥巴马总统晚些时候在白宫发表讲话说，这个请求不会成为美国另一个场地面战争的授权，像是在伊拉克和阿富汗的战争那样。奥巴马在一次全国电视讲话中说，这是一个困难的任务，在未来一段时间也仍然困难。他说，但是我们的联盟处于攻势，伊斯兰国处于守势，伊斯兰国将会失败。奥巴马起草的提案说，像在伊拉克和阿富汗进行的类似的大规模地面作战行动，应该留给当地的部队而不是美军。这份授权提案将取消2002年伊拉克战争授权法案，但是保留在2001年911恐怖袭击发生以后不久通过的一项打击基地组织及其分支机构的授权。一家韩国法院判定大韩航空总裁的女儿赵贤娥违反了航空安全法。赵贤娥因为对班机乘务员提供坚果的方式不满而大发雷霆。赵贤娥曾任大韩航空的高管，他因为在所谓的坚果愤怒事件中的行为而被判1年的监禁。去年12月5号，一名承班的航班的乘务员为赵贤娥提供袋装的坚果而没有使用盘子，于是赵贤娥强迫航班回到纽约的停机口，要把乘务员赶下飞机。星期四，自2013年以来一直被监禁在埃及的两名半岛电视台的记者将再度受审。上个月，一个上诉法院撤销了对他们的最初控罪，他们将被控支持穆斯林兄弟会。国际新闻报告完了，这是张燕从美国首都华盛顿向各位报告的。
Hello, I'm Elizabeth Moore. Welcome to Functioning in Business.
听众朋友们好，我是杨晨，欢迎收听商务通英语。
Functioning in Business is an intermediate level business English course with a focus on American business practices and culture.
商务通英语是中等程度的商务英语课程，课程题材以美国的商务实践和文化为主，通过电台播音室里的采访和绘画讲授美国英语。今天我们复习本星期的课程，第一课重点学习怎样表示确认。首先是电话访谈，我们再一次通过电话采访 Blake 先生。
Today we are talking again to Charles Blake. Hello, Mr. Blake.
Hello. It's good to be on the show again.
We are listening again to your conversation with Mr. Gomez. Mr. Gomez asked you a number of questions about training and manuals.
Uh-huh. Yes. He also wanted some information from other companies, from companies that had used our robots.
Let's listen to that conversation.
Another concern is your performance record in Asia with these machines.
Why don't I send you some reports on our performance? On the performance of the robots in some Korean companies who are also our clients. And I'm sure you'll be quite pleased with what you see.
Okay, great. Could you get those off to me within a few weeks?
Sure, that shouldn't be a problem. In fact, as soon as I get back to Beijing, I'll see to it.
下面我们继续采访 Blake 先生。
Mr. Blake, what did you plan to do next?
Well, I needed to contact my head office in Beijing. I had to make sure that the training manuals would be ready in time, and I wanted to check on our English language training program. Our technicians would need to be able to explain technical processes in clear English. I wanted to be sure that I could keep all of my promises to Mr. Gomez.
I see. Mr. Blake, thank you for talking to us today. Let's take a short break. Welcome once again to Culture Tips with Gary Engleton. Today, Gary will talk about another aspect of negotiating.
Yes, today I'm going to talk about confirming understanding of a proposal. For example, if someone wants to sell a book for $13, you want to make sure that they aren't saying $30. But that's a very simple example. In negotiations between corporations, there may be many pages of details. When you negotiate,You have to read very carefully and listen carefully to what people have to say.
What could go wrong if you don't?
Well, you might reject a proposal because you misunderstand it. Or even worse, you might accept it by mistake. One good way to confirm understanding is to paraphrase or restate what you read or hear.
Say it again in your own words.
Right.You shouldn't respond to a proposal unless you are sure that you have understood it.
Thanks, Gary. Let's listen to today's business dialogue.
We just received the latest test results from an independent laboratory.With our newest software, your computers will run 30% faster.
Excuse me, but was that 30 or 13?
30. And we have versions for all major operating systems.
So you're saying that anyone can use this?
Yes, that's right.
Well, that's certainly impressive, but we'll have to see the complete lab report.
I understand.But I'll have to get back to you on that request. My partners will have to agree to release the technical information.
Okay.
We'd like to do our own independent testing.
That's no problem. We can help you set it up. if the test results are good. Are you interested in becoming partners?
Let's talk it over after we see the test results.
Well, I hope that you'll agree to join us. It's a good opportunity.
Was that 30 or 13?
Did you say 30 or 13?
So you're saying that anyone can use this?
Are you saying that anyone can use this?
I'll have to get back to you.
I can't give you an answer at this time.
Let's talk it over after we see the results.
Let's discuss it when we have the results.
Gary 提示
Now it's time for Gary's Tips with Gary Angleton.
Hello, Elizabeth. Today I'll be talking about confirming information during a negotiation. In any business discussion, it is very important to confirm numbers. This is especially true of numbers like 30 and 13, which are easily confused, as we hear in today's business dialogue.
We just received the latest test results from an independent laboratory. With our newest software, your computers will run 30% faster.
Excuse me, but was that 30 or 13?
30, 30.
In today's business dialogue, we can also hear several examples of confirmation and paraphrase using the word so.
And we have versions for all major operating systems.
So you're saying that anyone can use this?
Yes, that's right.
This dialogue also contains some examples of the language function stalling. These are expressions you can use if you want to delay a decision or an answer. When Mark asks to see the lab report, Alan stalls, using the expression, "I'll have to get back to you."
Well, that's certainly impressive, but we'll have to see the complete lab report.
I understand, but I'll have to get back to you on that request. My partners will have to agree to release the technical information.
This is the same expression Mr. Blake used in his conversation with Mr. Gomez.
Yes, again, as I told you, we are preparing a translation of the Chinese manual we have now, and we expect that to be ready in a short time.
By a short time, could you give me an estimate?
I'd like to say 2 weeks, but I'd have to get back to you.
Confirming information and stalling, delaying answers and decisions, are both useful skills in business discussions. Thanks for joining us today for Gary's Tips.
Thanks, Gary.
本星期第二课重点学习怎样提供反馈，也就是怎样对别人说的话做出反应。首先是电话访谈，采访对象是 Gomez 先生。
Today we're talking again to Mr. David Gomez. Hello, Mr. Gomez.
Hello, it's nice to talk to you again.
Your discussions with Mr. Blake were successful, weren't they?
Yes, we met for about an hour and a half, and I felt that we discussed all the main issues.
Let's listen to how you ended those discussions.
Why don't I send you some reports on our performance? On the performance of the robots in some Korean companies who are also our clients. And I'm sure you'll be quite pleased with what you see.
Okay, great. Could you get those off to me within a few weeks?
Sure, that shouldn't be a problem. In fact, as soon as I get back to Beijing, I'll see to it.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Is there anything else?
Well, no.That covers all the major points.
Okay, fine.
Sounds good.
下面我们继续采访 Gomez 先生。
Mr. Gomez, how did you think that meeting went?
Well, Elizabeth, I felt confident about the quality of the robots, and I was pleased that Mr. Blake was willing to send us technical advisors and to provide English service manuals, and I told Mr. Chapman all this.
You called him after the meeting?
No, I sent him an email. I kept Mr. Chapman up to date about my meetings with Mr. Blake. After all, it was Mr. Chapman who had to make the final decision about the purchase.
Mr. Gomez, thank you for talking to me today. Let's take a short break. Welcome once again to Culture Tips with Gary Engleton. Today, Gary will talk about another aspect of negotiating.
Yes, today I'm going to talk about being careful with numbers.
What does that mean?
Well, in negotiations, people use a lot of numbers, especially for prices.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes it's important to ask them where the numbers come from.
Can you give us an example?
Sure. Let's say that you are buying a used car. The seller may tell you that he wants $5,000. You should ask where the number 5,000 came from.
To see if it's a fair price.
Yes, whenever it's possible, ask the seller to use a standard measure or reference.
For example?
Well, with cars, there are standard lists of prices that tell you how much used cars are worth. If you check the price lists, you may find that the car you want to buy is not worth $5,000. It may only be worth $4,000.
So in negotiations, don't just accept numbers. Examine them closely.
Exactly.
Let's listen to today's business dialogue.
As I mentioned before, it's a well-built house with a spectacular view.
Excellent.
However, I'm afraid that the owners can't move out until October. Their new house won't be ready until then.
Well, we could wait until October. That isn't a problem. So, what's the asking price?
They're asking $250,000.
$250,000? That sounds like a lot.
Well, it does have 4 bedrooms, 3 baths, and the view is spectacular.
But according to my real estate agent, most houses near here are much less expensive. In fact, I just saw a house for sale near here. It also has 4 bedrooms and a nice view. And they're only asking $200,000.
Well, the owners are willing to negotiate.
Good. I'll think about it and give you a call. Maybe we'll make an offer.
Sounds good.
It's a well-built house with a spectacular view.
Excellent.
The owners can't move out until October.
That isn't a problem.
The owners are willing to negotiate.
Good.
Gary 提示。
Now it's time for Gary's Tips with Gary Engleton.
Hello, Elizabeth. Today, I'll be talking about giving feedback. In today's business dialogue, Lucy is looking for a new house. When she likes what she hears, she gives positive feedback, using expressions such as excellent and that isn't a problem. Let's listen.
As I mentioned before, it's a well-built house with a spectacular view.
Excellent.
However, I'm afraid that the owners can't move out until October. Their new house won't be ready until then.
Well, we could wait until October. That isn't a problem.
One good way to give feedback, either positive or negative, is to use the expression, "that sounds." For example, "that sounds good," or "that sounds like a problem." Notice how Lucy uses the expression, "that sounds like a lot," when the real estate agent says the price of the house.
So, what's the asking price?
They're asking $250,000.
$250,000? That sounds like a lot.
Later on, Lucy and the agent come to a solution that sounds good to both of them.
Well, the owners are willing to negotiate.
Good. I'll think about it and give you a call. Maybe we'll make an offer.
Sounds good.
In business discussions, it's a good idea to give feedback so that the other person understands your position. Thanks for joining us today for Gary's Tips.
Thanks, Gary.
第三课我们重点学习了许诺和让别人放心的语言。首先是分析讨论。我们要把 Blake 先生和 Gomez 先生所进行的会谈完整的听一遍，然后进行分析。
I'm here with Gary Angleton. Today, we will listen to the entire conversation between Mr. Blake and Mr. Gomez,
where they go over some final details.
Yes, they discuss, let's see, training, the service manual.
And Mr. Gomez asks for some information about the performance record of the robots in Asia.
Yes, he wants reports from Korean companies that have used Mr. Blake's robots.
All in all, Mr. Gomez seemed satisfied.
Yes, he did. Let's listen again to the conversation, and we'll talk about it afterwards.
Okay.
So, Mr. Blake, when we first put these machines in operation, can you send over a group of advisors, technical advisors who speak English and can train our engineers and workmen?
Certainly, Mr. Gomez. In fact, we have some engineers in a language training program now. They could come over within a few months and be available any time you need them.
Great, great. That sounds good. Another one of our major concerns is the service manual. We're quite concerned about getting a service manual in English. It has to be easy to read and very clear and useful for our engineers.
Yes. Again, as I told you, we are preparing a translation of the Chinese manual we have now, and we expect that to be ready in a short time.
By a short time, could you give me an estimate?
I'd like to say 2 weeks, but I'd have to get back to you. But probably about 2 or 3 weeks.
Oh, that sounds quite reasonable. As you know, we have until January 1st to actually install these machines and get them operating. So we're under no deadline pressure here.
Okay, well, that gives us a fair amount of time to work with.
Plenty of time. That sounds good, Mr. Blake. Another concern is your performance record in Asia with these machines.
Why don't I send you some reports on our performance? On the performance of the robots in some Korean companies who are also our clients. And I'm sure you'll be quite pleased with what you see.
Okay, great. Could you get those off to me within a few weeks?
Sure. That shouldn't be a problem. In fact, as soon as I get back to Beijing, I'll see to it.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Is there anything else?
Well, no. That covers all the major points.
Okay, fine.
Sounds good.
By the end of the conversation, Mr. Gomez seems very happy.
Yes, Mr. Blake also seems very pleased with the way things have gone. They appear to have established a basis for a good working relationship. So, this is an example of a successful negotiation.
It looks like that to me. Welcome once again to Culture Tips with Gary Angleton. Today, Gary will summarize some important tips about negotiations. Gary?
Yes, First of all, you have to remember that you are building a long-term relationship. You should make sure that your agreement is fair to both sides. To do this, you really need to know what the other side wants and needs. You need to understand what they are asking for and why. And it's very important to understand a proposal before reacting to it. You should always paraphrase ideas to check your understanding. Finally, always ask where the numbers come from and check them.
Gary, thanks for all of the great suggestions. They will certainly be helpful to our listeners when they use English in a negotiation. Let's listen to today's business dialogue.
So, you need 5 experienced programmers by the 10th of next month?
Yes. As I said, we are going to use a new computer system in our warehouse.
Well, that won't be a problem. I can promise 3 programmers by the 1st of the month. And I can guarantee the other 2 by your deadline.
But will they be experienced? We need experienced programmers.
They will have at least 1 year's experience with the computer software.
You're sure of that?
I'll see to it personally.
And how much will this cost us?
It'll be $2,000 per week for each programmer.
That's pretty expensive. Why so much?
Well, experienced computer programmers are expensive. They can easily get very high salaries anywhere they work. If we want them to stay with us, we have to pay them well. In addition, our company has to make some money. We're providing a service.
Okay, that sounds reasonable.
Gary 提示。
Now it's time for Gary's Tips with Gary Engleton.
Hello, Elizabeth. Today's business dialogue contains examples of some language functions that are used in negotiations. The dialogue begins with John confirming what Jane needs, using the expression, so. Jane also confirms her needs, using the useful expression, as I said.
So, you need 5 experienced programmers by the 10th of next month?
Yes. As I said, we are going to use a new computer system in our warehouse.
John then reassures her that he can meet her needs. Notice his use of the key words promise and guarantee.
Well, that won't be a problem. I can promise 3 programmers by the 1st of the month. And I can guarantee the other 2 by your deadline.
Jane also asks information questions, how much and why, to come to a better understanding of John's position.
And how much will this cost us?
It'll be $2,000 per week for each programmer.
That's pretty expensive. Why so much?
Well, experienced computer programmers are expensive. In addition, our company has to make some money. We're providing a service.
Business discussions and negotiations will always require a variety of language functions. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Gary. Well, our time is up. Tune in again next time for Functioning in Business. See you then.
今天的商务通英语就复习到这里。谢谢各位收听。我们下次再见。
For further study, a Functioning in Business study kit is available from your local bookstore.
为了帮助学习，商务通英语备有课本和录音带，整套辅导学习材料，听众可以去本地的书店购买。 美国之音国际新闻。乌克兰、俄罗斯、法国和德国的领导人星期四清晨继续举行会谈，争取结束乌克兰危机。此前四国领导人在白俄罗斯首都进行了马拉松式的彻夜谈判。乌克兰总统波罗申科在会谈间歇时表示，谈判正在进行，但就达成乌克兰东部停火协议而言，还没有任何好消息。上星期，有关各方匆忙安排了在白俄罗斯首都明斯克举行的这一次峰会。此前，德国总理默克尔和法国总统奥朗德前往莫斯科，向俄罗斯总统普京递交了一项和平方案。奥朗德星期天表示，明斯克峰会将是实现乌克兰东部和平的最后机会之一。十个月来，亲俄分离分子和乌克兰军队一直在乌克兰东部作战，战斗造成至少5400人死亡，还有成千上万人受伤。最近谈判的焦点是恢复停火。最初各方同意于去年9月停火，但停火很快被打破。围绕从冲突地区撤出武器以及该地区今后的自治程度等问题，有关各方还存在分歧。美国总统奥巴马星期三请求国会正式授权在打击伊斯兰国恐怖组织的战争中动用军队。奥巴马总统晚些时候在白宫发表讲话说，这一请求不会成为美国另外一场地面战争的授权，像在伊拉克和阿富汗的战争那样。奥巴马解释说，如果美国得到可操作的情报，比如有关伊斯兰国头目聚集的地点，这一授权将允许他部署特殊部队。根据授权提案，军事行动的时限为3年，并禁止美军进行提案所说的持久的地面进攻作战。奥巴马在一次全国电视讲话中说，这是一个困难的任务，在未来一段时间也仍然困难。他说，但是我们的联盟处于攻势，伊斯兰国处于守势，伊斯兰国将会失败。这份授权提案将取消2002年伊拉克战争授权法案，但是保留在2001年911恐怖袭击发生后不久通过的一项打击基地组织及其分支机构的授权。一家韩国法院判定大韩航空总裁的女儿赵贤娥违反了航空安全法。赵贤娥因为对班机乘务员提供坚果的方式不满而大发雷霆。赵贤娥曾经担任大韩航空高管，她因为在所谓的坚果愤怒这个事件中的行为而被判1年监禁。去年12月5日，一名航班乘务员为赵贤娥提供袋装坚果而没有使用盘子，于是赵贤娥强迫航班回到纽约的停机口，要把乘务员赶下飞机。一些韩国人把赵贤娥看作一位被惯坏的公主。星期四，自2013年以来一直被监禁在埃及的两名半岛电视台记者将再度受审。上个月，一个上诉法院撤销了对他们的最初控罪，他们被控支持穆斯林兄弟会。对法赫米和埃及公民麦哈迈德的重审将在开罗进行。法赫米本来拥有加拿大和埃及双重国籍，他本月放弃了埃及国籍。法赫米和麦哈迈德与他的同事澳大利亚公民格雷斯特同时被逮捕，格雷斯特在2月1日获释并被遣返澳大利亚。记者无国界组织发表报告说，去年全球范围的新闻自由度都有所下降。记者无国界发表的世界新闻自由指数年度报告说，在接受调查的180个国家中，2/3的国家在2014年新闻自由状况恶化，导致这种状况的因素包括武装冲突和伊斯兰国等恐怖组织。自2013年以来，侵犯新闻自由的暴力增长了 8%。 接受调查的180个国家中的大部分都受到影响。芬兰的新闻自由排名连续第5年名列榜首，欧洲和巴尔干地区都名列前茅，不过巴尔干国家的新闻自由度低于去年。国际特赦组织说，中国当局监禁并酷刑审讯至少2名香港民主抗议活动的支持者。去年的抗议活动使香港很多地区陷于瘫痪状态。总部设在伦敦的国际特赦星期四发表声明说，中国当局目前至少关押着27名所谓雨伞运动的支持者。声明指出，其中9人没有得到律师辩护，还有4人的所在地点不明。一名受到刑讯的人士是著名的香港诗人王藏。以上您为您播报的是美国之音的国际新闻。
各位听众观众朋友大家好，欢迎继续收听收看美国之音 VOA 卫视2月11号星期三现场直播的时事大家谈节目，我是宝申。
各位好，我是宇宙。
2月6号，中纪委公布2014年中央巡视组第三轮专项巡视的部分反馈情况。中纪委网站称，巡视清单涉及6家国企，并且直白地指出，有的领导和关键岗位人员利用职权与承包商、供应商内外勾结，搞权钱权色交易等等。有分析说，中纪委正在提醒观众，中国国企病情严重。那么，巡视中国国际广播电台、中国船舶、中国联通等6个自家单位，是否意味着反腐大刀正在砍向央企？习近平是否会六亲不认？时大家谈邀请中国政经专家进行分析。
好，今天参加节目讨论的嘉宾呢，一位是美国托列多大学商学院经济学专家张新教授。张教授你好。
你好。
张教授通过 Skype参加节目。另外一位呢是节目现场的经济学家评论人士何青莲女士。何女士你好。
你好。
我们欢迎两位，我们也欢迎各位听众观众和网友拨打电话参加节目的讨论。免费热线电话呢是4001200551，免费热线电话4001200551，请各位拨打这个热线电话，提出您的观点，也发表您的见解。那么首先我想请问托雷德大学的教授张欣，那么就是说对这样一个报道呢，您的看法是怎么样？就习近平他会不会这个六亲不认呢？
这个我觉得很难讲，因为呢习近平呢他现在的主要依靠力量是太子党。那在太子党里面，我们可以看到到目前除了薄熙来，他实际上是由于政治的原因被抓起来，但是其他的人还没有涉及到。我想在腐败这个方面，其实多多少少在这样的体制下，人人都有牵涉进去，那么到底是要打谁，这里面还是会有选择的。
何青莲女士，我们看到这6个央企吧，非常的有意思，包括中国国际广播电台、中国传播，还有中国联通。那么联通呢，大家都知道跟这个江泽民的儿子江民恒是有很多关联的，过去中国网通还有另外一家，后来组成了联通。有很多人所谓就分析，这是不是指向另一个大老虎的一个先兆？
我是这样分析的，就是习近平呢一直在让他自己姐姐两个姐姐家退出这个经商。那么第一个姐姐呢是退出了，拿了钱，纽约时报报道了。然后就是第二个姐姐西安安呢，就将企业就地解散，钱呢全部拿去遣散员工。也就是说他可能准备让这个红二代退出这个商界，但是这个退出商界呢并不意味着就一定要送到秦城啊，或者惩治腐败。因为我们大家知道这个国企吧，过去搞过一个经理人持股，就经理人持股呢，就是国企高管呢可以通过国企在银行贷款，然后让他们买股份，然后就盈利以后呢就拿到钱。那么有的高几亿资产的企业呢可以拿到1%、3%，那就是每年的收入非常可观。外界不太知道这个 IPO 经理人持股，只知道这个国企的高管的工资十几倍、20倍于这个平均工资啊，就国企的，所以对这点意见很大。实际上呢，国企的腐败要分两个层面。那个工资方面呢，今年已经规定最高不得超过国企员工的平均工资的8倍。但是呢，这个经理人持股要如何算，这还是一个暗盘，可能不会跟外面公布，但是这个腐败相当大。
那么就是从您的观点来看，中国国企它的这个通病是在哪里？那么这样一个运行的模式的话，在中国这个未来是不是还会继续运行下去，或者它根本没法走通呢？
我觉得国企的问题相当大。大在哪里呢？第一个，它完全是反市场操作。第一点，它的资源是国家无偿划拨。第二点呢，它的运作呢不是按照市场化机制，像国企拥有定价权，它都是靠垄断，比如那个电力、资源、石油还有供水 等等的这些资源呢，定价权都在国企这里，想抬价就抬价，召开这个听证会的都是徒有其名，所以呢，就是这是第二点。第三点呢，就是国企呢效益特别低，因为国企成为那个中央很多部门来安插子女亲疏的地方，所以呢就是效率特别低，它的无论在就业效率方面都低于这个民企，所以只要中国没有改变这种由政府呢控制这个国企资源，还有就是给这个国企呢政策倾斜，和贷款各种各样的倾斜呢，我觉得它就不太可能改变这个机制。
嗯，那张新教授，你刚才谈到了太子党这个问题，你谈到除了薄熙来以外，其他的太子党基本上都没有受到牵连。最近呢，关于安邦保险集团的这些新闻吵得沸沸扬扬的，其中涉及到陈毅之子陈小鲁是不是安邦集团的实际操控人，后来他表示否认，并且说他们这一代红二代现在年龄也都差不多了，差不多都应该退出了。你是不是认为这是习近平在把反腐指向红二代，逼红二代退出商圈的这么一个现象？
我想那个情况可能还不是这么简单，因为我们是在外面看，我们不会知道里面很多的内情，但是我们知道的就是说，陈小鲁相对其他的太子党人，他还是代表比较开明，比较希望那个有一些制约和民主的，而现在呢，在那个安邦上的那个情况，又把他首先抛了出来，这里面的内幕是什么我不知道，但是呢我们知道在太子党里面，特别是在一些大的国企央企或者一些所谓的那个股份制的上市企业公司当中，那一些太子党呢，他们是占据了很重要的地位，也拿了很多的钱，所以在这里面比如说举个例子来讲，陈小如讲了啊，他说啊，他觉得要公开，然后但是公开呢，先要从现在在位的人上把自己的财产，包括家属的财产啊，都把它公开起来。那实际上也是将了一个军。我们知道，要财政透明官，还有呢就是官员的财产透明呢，已经叫了很久，但是不但没有解决呢，啊，比较叫了比较那个想的几个知识分子啊，法律律师啊，都还被抓了起来，所以这个问题我想还没有这么简单。
嗯，何青兰女士刚才谈到一下中国国企，他们在定价这方面，在行业垄断、政策倾斜方面都得到了很多的好处。你认为国企它的腐败情况又怎么样？为什么现在习近平、王岐山把反腐的矛头指向了国企？
啊，国企的腐败相当严重。因为呢，每一个国企就是一个独立王国，那个国企的那个 CEO 董事长就好像那个王国的国王，然后呢，他就可以决定这个他的王国里面的人财物各种流向，那么就是腐败是相当严重的。就以这个中石油、中石化说吧，它的上游、中游、下游企业环节特别多，几乎每一个环节都产生腐败。比如这个石油的那个钻井设备，这个大家都知道，就是周斌、周永康的儿子就是几乎垄断了。然后在这个海外投资，那个财经去年1月有一篇著名的哈佛亚渠道啊案渠，指的就是他们呢委托一个伊拉克人出面成立一个公司，实际上是由这个中石油海外的人的高管持有，然后呢就让那个公司参加招标，让他不断的中标，3年里面就中了1.35亿的那个标，然后钱全部流到他们袋子了。然后这个事情呢是伊拉克查才查出来，在通知中国的。那么就是如果外面不查，等于国内永远不知道。我相信很多这个大国企呢，驻海外的都有这个类似问题，只不过没发现。
嗯，好，何青莲女士，我想问问，接下来我想问问那个张新教授，就是刚才您和这个青莲都谈到了，就现在这个国营企业它的股份化呢，使得很多的这个利益呢流入了这个红二代、红色权贵他们的口袋中。那么这是我想到解放初期的这个私营企业的国有化。那么相对于那一波呢，就是说等于共产党他是首先把这个私营企业 转为国家。那么现在呢，通过改革开放之后，再把国营企业给部分的私有化，就让这个肥水流到他们的这个口袋之中。那么现在如果习近平再对这个自己的国营企业来开刀的话呢，这个是不是有违共产党一贯以来对自己利益的这个保护？那么是不是会激起这个部分，尤其是这个权贵红二代他们的这个强烈的反弹呢？
我这样想啊，那个这个红二代他不是铁板一块，红二代当中呢，有些人呢是拿到好处的啊，在这次改革当中，那他们呢的想法是一块啊，我想和其他的那个权贵的差不多。那当中红二代当中呢，也有一帮呢，他没有得到好处啊，他呢就意见特别大。我看那个像吴沐英啊什么，可能他就是代表是另外一派的，所以把红二代作为一个统一的名词来讲呢，我估计呢还有一些武断，要分开来讲。那但是我想刚才呢，加一点那个评论啊，何静莲女士的那个评论，国有企业我非常同意它是非常的效率非常低，啊，根据天智所的一个研究啊。几年来呢，国有企业它的实际的利润是百分之-6.6%，它实际上在一直亏本的，因为它呢垄断了国有的比如资源啊，像石油啊、矿产权啊，它垄断了那个价格啊，比如说它的那个一些在公共部门啊，比如说电话啊、那个移动通讯啊等等，它有那个垄断权利。所以呢他得了很多的好处，还不要说他从银行当中得到的汇款借贷款利率啊是私有企业的1/5这么低。那么现在的问题主要还是在权力垄断上。我想李克强总理他做的一个方式呢还是比较根本的，那就是什么呢，把行政权力把垄断权力都要把它打破，还有呢要引进海外的企业的来竞争。但是呢现在看来我没有看到习近平的讲话当中在这个根本上方面啊做出什么运动，而他的现在的打的呢打的那个腐败呢还是从人治或者说中国2000年封建王朝当中打腐败的那套方法，这个并不治本，它只是治标，而且呢连这个治标呢我想到最后的效果呢也是有问题的。
好，各位听众观众朋友，您现在收听收看的是美国之音 VOA 卫视时事大家谈，今天我们讨论的第一个话题是中共反腐矛头正在指向国企，究竟意味着什么？接下来我们接听一些听众观众朋友打来的电话。山东的孔先生您好，您在我们的节目当中了。
你好，我认为啊大陆的国企其实呢就是中国共产党的党产，是红二代的家产，是八旗子弟的家产，是贪污党的存钱柜，是贪污党的私房钱柜。蒋经国也好，戈巴乔夫也好，他们也是要维护党国的独裁，他们进行体制改革也是处于无奈。共产党也好，国民党也好，没有什么好党，只能看老百姓的监督逼迫，才能由恶党变成好党。谢谢，再见。
谢谢山东孔先生。接下来请浙江朱先生参加节目的讨论。朱先生您好。
哎，你好，是我吗？
啊，是您，请讲。
哎，你好，就是这个，你们谈的是国有企业嘛？这个国有企业按照道理讲是全国人民所有嘛，本来应该是为全国人民服务的嘛。国企是应该是共同大家全国人民财富，为全国人民服务。但事实上，很长一段时间，完全可能。现在偏离的轨道嘛，成了部分人的黄庄、工庄、黄庄。这个我觉得这个矛头，现在矛头指向这个国有企业，我觉得它应该是反腐的大刀应该砍向这个 这个国有企业些权贵。
嗯，好。
应该说这个反腐比反叫反比不反好，我是这么想，反比不反好，是即使不能治本，治一些标也能快人心，也能就为百姓谋一点福利。
好，谢谢浙江朱先生。接下来请北京的李先生参加我们节目的讨论。李先生您好。
主持人好，嘉宾好。
嗯，
我非常欣赏何女士的对中国建设的批评批判。往往他每次说话呢，都是比批判的都是比较深刻透彻的，非常欣赏。另外说说我自己的观点。过去唐朝的大政治家大文学家柳宗元就批判林德院的时候就说过，啊，假天下之功，啊，行一家之恶，这是针对秦的啊，秦始皇那个时代。那么套用那句话，那么现在对于中国共产党来讲的话，这叫假天下之功，行一党之福，他何来不腐败，啊，不腐朽？另外，我总结有八句话，啊，这是我多年来观察中国共产党的官场的结果。一句就是独裁专制一统天，第二句是百姓为奴恨崇官，第三句是权力难道无正义，狼狈称患坑底边，小人得志如鹰狗，乌纱帽下为真面，清水衙门谁见了，官场无处不黑暗。好吧，
好，谢谢北京的李先生。中国的国有企业以及其他的经济命脉部门，包括金融、交通、能源等等，都掌握在这些红二代以及或者官二代的手中。那么现在习近平反腐，他有没有能力或者他有没有这种意愿来改变这种现状？因为只要这些个经济命脉、经济企业掌握在这批人的手中，他们就会拥有各种各样的权利去进行腐败、去定价、去垄断等等。能不能改变？怎么样改变目前这种状况？
嗯，这个问题呢，说来话长。其实现在这个国企这些经济寡头，是朱镕基当年呢，国企改革抓大放小，把中等以下的全部放开，就是那个市场竞争的就改制了，就留下这些。这些企业在这个扶文十年期间呢，早期还是承担了非常重要的作用，是税收支柱。当时中国企业500强，前面50家总体税收就超过后面450家。所以很厉害，但是到后来的就越来越不像话，那么就出现你刚才讲的这些情况。习近平呢，你要说他主观上不想改变，他想改变，问题是有没有能力和办法解决。王岐山这两天在团拜会上就说过一句这著名的话，他说都说一党制不能反腐，我就不信这个邪。其实王岐山我还是劝他信了这个邪，在2024年呢他就知道了。目前呢他自己也承认反腐呢现在是就是那个还要杀肥马枪，就是反过腐的地方腐败又出现了，就是陈酿的腐败刚清掉，增量腐败又出来了，所以这里应该是有问题的。那么至于如何反，我觉得呢那就是只能呢先从这个体制上解决，然后再有什么反腐反什么，就是这样。比如这个定价权，就不要让各地政府或者政府和这个国企呢操控，就是让真正的市民代表呢去就这个价格发言，而不要出现那些职业听证者，一个人参加了几十个听证会，成了电力、水利还有石油各方面的专家，哪有一个人精通这么多地方的定价？所以我觉得这些问题可以分散解决。
嗯，
那么青莲君刚才谈到这个定价的问题呢，我也想问问，就关于国企反腐，就这几个被提到名字的6家国企呢，他们在整个的中国经济中呢占有多大的这个重要性？就如果对他们这个开刀的话呢，对中国经济会可能形成怎么样的影响呢？
我觉得不会造成特别大的影响，因为只是切掉了肿瘤，那么呢它的运作还会继续。 尤其像国管那种部门，它就是一个舆论宣传部门，那几天的业务就算是稍微不正常，发点什么也没有什么大不了的，无非是宣传部听起来不高兴了啊。我觉得是这样。至于这个两桶油呢，的腐败不解决不行。你看今年全世界油价都大跌，但是只有中国的消费者一点都没受益，价格还是那么高，象征性的跌了一点，这利润都到哪里去了？还就是他们拿走嘛，就是。
好，那么张教授，我想问问您，刚才青莲谈到这个国际广播电国际广播电台啊，那么对他进行反腐的话，是不是用这个反腐的名义，其实是想对他的这个政治意识形态进行一种清理？
这个呢，我这么讲呢，也就是国际广播电台啊，它的寻租的空间并不大。
嗯哼，
因为我们从经济学的角度来讲，我刚才想接着那个何青莲女士呢做稍微一点评论啊。
好，
定价的话呢，那个不应该在政府能够不定价的话，就不应该去定价，根本不是说你参加什么，由市场来定价，只要是竞争的足够多的，那价格就自己出来了。比如说煤的情况，对吧？它其实价格大部分还是市场来定的，哪怕你有几个大的企业，但是因为还有几个大的企业在这里，还有许多国际的那个价格在那里，因为受的影响，你自己就很难把价格定下来。主要政府要管住的是一些公共利益有关的，我们英文叫 utility 啊，公共那些项目，比如说那个电讯啊，比如说那个用水啊等等电费，这个里面呢，因为牵涉到很多其他方面，比如说我们讲那个讲油的方面，那个就是汽油的方面，这个里面呢，现在油价低下来呢，我们多征收一点汽油税，从经济学的角度来讲也没有错，因为为什么呢？这个里面开车多的话呢，它有一个外部负效应，这个外部负效应你要把它纠正的话呢，你就要把油价呢提上去呢，使大家少开车，少开自己的汽车，少污染。但是问题在怎么样定下来的话呢，那个这个方面价格是要听证的。然后我再回到那个刚才您提的问题来讲，腐败产生很多的原因，我说了，就是有权利寻租，你没有权利，人家不会来腐败，谁要来再给你行贿啊，当然也是我成本啊，对吧？过去呢，就是其他方面呢，他有垄断的权利呢，党有他垄断的权利，就会寻租了。国际广播电台本身他没有很多的权利去寻租，但是问题在哪里呢？国际广播电台他拿到了很多中央拨款，不管是安全部啊、宣传部啊等等拨款，然后这里面的钱怎么会用呢？那就产生了很多的腐败。
确实是中国的政治体制和经济体制没法分，政治运作决定这个经济运作，企业的官员任命也都由这个政府那个啊，尤其是这个国企的那个官员，到底是企业家呢还是官员？你看自己定位都不清楚。他如果是官员，他只要在中国的体制下，只要对上面负责，他不需要来对消费者负责，对市场负责。问题就在这里。
将来央视以及国企重要的国企的负责人 CEO 啊等等，会不会经过一种其他的方式来产生，不再由政府来任命？
我觉得其他的央企的可能不太重要的可能。但是你要说央视、国际广播电台，这绝对都是要紧紧控制，不可能改变任命机制。
我来加一句。
好的，张教授。
我想呢，这问题关键就是在所谓的国有应该是人民所有，而人民呢，而且有办法直接去监督，任聘和替换那些他觉得不需要的人。但是现在的问题，是实际所谓的国有是党有或者是官僚的那个顶层所有，那如果这个问题不解决，用其他的都是治标的，不能解决问题。
好的，谢谢张新教授。
由于时间的关系呢，今天时事大家谈的讨论到这里就结束了。
明天的时事大家谈节目，我们将关注前总理李鹏之女李小林的瑞士存款等热点话题，请在北京时间晚上8点到10点准时锁定 VOA 卫视。我是宝申，祝大家晚安。
我是宇宙，我们下次节目再见。
这是美国之音的中文广播 The Voice of America。